In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Acts 1:6. It's the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, is this the time for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" They're all into politics. Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to all people, telling about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud, and they were watching, and they could no longer see him. The cloud is the cloud of glory, and their mouths are open. Jesus ascends into heaven. God goes up with shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. I tell you, they didn't know what to expect. Jesus has just left them. He says, "It's better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. It's better for you that I go to the Father, and you will do the same things that I do, and you will do greater still." I tell you, the ascension is all about the Holy Spirit. He ascends into heaven and pours out upon the apostles and the world the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to realize that Jesus not only ascended, but as a result of his ascension into glory, he pours out the Holy Spirit upon those who believe and those who are thirsty. And listen to this. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, the cloud of glory. And while they were watching, they could no longer see Jesus. As they strained to see him, I could see their mouths wide open, looking up. And there was two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? This Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." I tell you, the ascension is all about the giving of the Holy Spirit. And if the churches need anything at all, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends into heaven. It's the great homecoming of Jesus as he goes into heaven, sitting at the Father's right hand. This is the reality of the day. The ascension is all about the giving of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at Acts 20, verse 36. Paul has just told the people in Ephesus that he would not be seeing them again. And when he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. This is a Paul, a bishop, a pastor who loved the people, who preached there and preached there and preached there, and tells them now, "I'm not going to see you again." And the people start weeping because this is their shepherd. This is their pastor. This is their priest. I'm telling you, Paul was loved by the people. He kept on preaching the word of God and kept on preaching the word of God. But now he gets down to a ship and he's on a journey to where? Jerusalem, chapter 21. After saying farewell to the Ephesians and the elders, we sailed straight to the island of Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. There we boarded a ship sailing for Phoenicia, We sighted the island of Cyprus, pressed it to our left, and landed at the harbor of Tyre and Syria, where the ship was to unload its cargo. We went ashore, found the local believers, you see, they're local believers, and stayed with them a week. These believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. Why? Because terrible things awaited him. And when we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including the women and children, left the city and came down to the shore with us. There we knelt and prayed and said our farewells. Then we went aboard and they returned home. The next stop after leaving Tyre was Ptolemais, where we gathered the brothers and sisters and stayed for one day. The next day we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist. Oh yeah, this is the one that was with the Ethiopian eunuch, and this is the one that has several daughters who are prophetesses, my Lord. Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food, he had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. I don't know who's going to outpreach who, the four daughters or Paul. I'm telling you, or Philip, I'm telling you, if you get four prophets in the room, they're going to be preaching Jesus. They're going to be telling you what's going to be happening in the days to come. These were prophetic women. Isn't it wonderful that God makes no distinction between men and women when it comes to the gift of prophecy, that these women prophesied? When was the last time you prophesied? When was the last time you prophesied? Oh, I remember a prophetic word that the Lord gave me a long time ago, that we would have an outpouring of the Spirit that has never been seen before. And I just wait for that outpouring. I continue to preach because we are in need of a new Pentecost. We are in need of a new Pentecost. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. And he came over and he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish Gentiles, be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So they're begging Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because there awaits you a lot of pain. There awaits you prison. There awaits you things that cannot be imagined. So, you know, Paul says he's going to Jerusalem no matter what. But he said, "Why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I'm ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus." And when it was clear that we couldn't persuade Paul, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." Paul, when he had something in his mind, he had something in his mind, and he's going to do what he needs to do. And the prophetic word was warning him that he was going to have a lot of trouble. He's going to have a lot of trouble. I tell you, the prophetic word is very important. This prophetic word, I remember John Paul Jackson prophesying over me, and he said I was in a little room. He didn't know where I was, but I was reaching a lot of people. Oh, yes, I need the prophetic word. I need the prophetic word over me that tells me the things that are to come so that I can walk in victory. You see, the prophetic word is that we can walk in victory. It's not fortune telling. It's speaking the word of God for people. As these four prophetesses said to Paul, you're going to be in a lot of trouble when you go to Jerusalem. But Paul says he's going to Jerusalem. After this, we packed our things and left for Jerusalem. Some believers from Caesarea accompanied us, and they took us into their home, the home of Mnason, a man originally from Cyprus and one of the early believers. When we arrived, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. Can you see that there are believers every place now? I tell you, because of the Roman roads, you know, the apostles went and preached the gospel. As I said, Caesar thought he was making these roads to lead to Rome for himself, but they weren't going to lead to Rome for himself. They were going to lead to Rome and throughout the earth for the gospel. Hallelujah. Isn't God wonderful? God takes a pagan king and uses the built roads to preach the gospel. This is good news. The next day, Paul went with us to meet with James. James is the Bishop of Jerusalem, and all the elders of Jerusalem church were present. After greeting them, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. We remember, again, Paul goes to the synagogue first. They reject the word, and where does he go? He goes to the Gentiles. He shakes off the dust from his feet, and he goes to the Gentiles. Why the Jews first? Because the gospel is always to the Jew first, and then to the Greeks. After hearing this, what happened to the Gentiles, they praised God, and then they said, "You know, dear brother, how many thousands of Jews have also believed, and they all follow the law of Moses very seriously. But the Jewish believers here in Jerusalem have been told that you are teaching all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn their backs on the laws of Moses." That's not true, but that was the gossip that was being said. They've heard that you teach them not to circumcise their children or to follow other Jewish customs. What should we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. Now, I'm telling you, Paul didn't teach that, but he did teach to the Gentiles that they did not need to be circumcised because they were already Christians. And to the Jews, well, the Jewish people have this tradition to circumcise a child when the child is, I believe, about 13 days old, and to circumcise that child. It's the covenant that God made with Abraham. But you know what? Paul never said to the Jews, "Don't circumcise your children. Here's what we want you to do. We have four men here who have completed their vow. Go with them to the temple and join them in the purification ceremony, paying for them to have their heads ritually shaved. Then everyone will know that the rumors are all false and that you yourself observe the Jewish laws." You see, this is a sign of being a Jew. I forget of who people, it'll come to me. As for the Gentile believers, they should do what we already told them in a letter. They should abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, and you know what's going to happen to him? He's going to be arrested. But you cannot chain the word of God. You cannot chain the word of God. And that's something that we need to hear, that though Paul would be arrested, he would continue to speak the word of God from his house or from his prison, wherever they put him. So Paul went to the temple the next day with the other four men, all bald now, and they had already started the purification ritual. So he publicly announced that he would be offered for each of them. The 7 days were almost ended when some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and roused a mob against him. They grabbed him, yelling, "Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who preaches against our people everywhere and tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws." No, he doesn't tell that to everybody. Doesn't tell that to everybody. He tells the people in Galatia that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. What the law could not do to these Gentiles, Jesus did it by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. He is not preaching to Jews that they should not be circumcised or follow the traditions of their ancestors, but they're telling lies. He speaks against the temple and even defiles the holy place by bringing in Gentiles. So let me just tell you, didn't do that. The whole city was rocked by these accusations, and a great riot followed. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. And as they were trying to kill Paul, word reached the commander of the Roman regiment that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately called out his soldiers and officers and ran down among the crowd. And when the mob saw the commander and the troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. You see, the prophets told him, you're going to come into a lot of trouble if you go to Jerusalem. But Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Because from Jerusalem, you know where he wants to go. We'll see, he wants to go to Rome. And he wants to really preach to Caesar about Jesus. Paul had this in mind, I tell you. Then the commander arrested Paul and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He asked the crowd who he was and what he had done. Some shouted one thing, others shouted another. Since he couldn't find out the truth in all the uproar and confusion, he ordered that Paul be taken to the fortress. As Paul reached the stairs, the mob grew so violent that the soldiers had to lift him to their shoulders to protect him, and the crowd followed behind, shouting, kill him, kill him. They want him dead. They want him dead. As Paul was about to be taken inside, he said to the commander, may I have a word with you? Do you know Greek? The commander asked and was surprised. Aren't you an Egyptian who led a rebellion some days ago and took 4,000 members of the assassins into the desert? Paul said, no. I am a Jew and a citizen of Tarsus in Cilicia, and it is an important city. Please let me talk to these people. The commander agreed. So Paul stood on the stairs and motioned to the people to be quiet. Soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd, and he addressed them in their own language, their own Hebrew or Aramaic language. So, you know, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to talk about his conversion. Going to talk about what God did for him. I tell you, you've got to use your witness. What God did for you. What God did for you, not only 30 years ago, but what he's doing for you now. What God is doing for you now. Oh, yes. I heard today, I told you about the man that laid hands upon his wife, and she was healed of cancer. But I heard today from the man who told me that they canceled the operation because there was no cancer. They canceled the operation because there were. I tell you, God speaks powerfully through people who love Jesus. You have a witness. You must use your witness before men and women. It's the only witness you have. You say, well, it's not dramatic. Well, you know what? It makes no difference if it's dramatic. It's your witness. So Paul is speaking to the people. Brothers and esteemed fathers, Paul said, listen to me as I offer my defense. When they heard him speaking in their own language, Aramaic or Hebrew, the silence was even greater. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. He was one of the best teachers in the Holy Land. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted the followers of the way, that's Christians, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them into prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the Christians from there to Jerusalem in chains and to be punished. And as I was on the road approaching Damascus, about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down upon me. What is this bright light? It's the same experience of Jesus in the cloud. It is the glory of God. And this bright light surrounds Paul of Tarsus. And the scripture says, I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light, but they didn't understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, What should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told everything that you are to do. I was blinded by the intense light, the glory of God, and had to be led by hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And at that very moment, I could see him. So we see Paul is brought to Jerusalem, and he is a prisoner, and he's telling them his witness. I tell you, we've got to tell people our witness, because that's the only thing we have to tell people, not only what God did 25 years ago, but what God's doing today. I continue. Then he told me, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be witnesses, telling everyone that you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, Hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And I was in the complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. We remember Stephen outside the walls of Jerusalem. And Paul says that he was in complete agreement when the witness Stephen was killed. And we remember what Stephen said, Lord, don't hold this against them. The forgiveness of Stephen brings about the conversion of Paul by grace. It's all grace. I stood by and kept the coats that they took off when they stoned Stephen. But the Lord said to me, Go, for I will send you away to the Gentiles. So we see God is speaking to Paul. He's speaking to prophets. He's speaking. God is a speaker. Jesus is called the Word. God is a speaker. I know people have come to me, they said they've gone to their church, and they asked the priest or the minister, you know, does God speak today? And he said, No. The only way he speaks is through the Bible. I tell you, he does speak through the Bible, but he speaks in other ways. And you have to hear the Holy Spirit speak through people. You know, you can discern what is from God and what is not from God. God is a speaker, and he speaks to his people. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That means just what it says, that we hear the voice of God. He speaks to us, and we do what he says, so that we would not be disobedient. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. When was the last time you heard the voice of the Lord? When was the last time you heard the voice of the Lord? I heard it through someone yesterday who called me and said to me, you know, God has anointed you. These are not the words, but God has given you great gifts. I tell you, the greatest gift I have is Jesus. I don't have any greater gift than Jesus. You know, other people say, you know, you're a healer. Jesus is the healer. The only thing I can do is to pray and to believe. but I have to let people know what God has done for us, and he's still working because he's God Almighty. John says there are many more things that the Lord did. Were they all written down? All the books in the world could not hold them. My question to you is, what is the Lord doing? On July 20th to the 26th in 2014, at Holy Rosary Church, we have the School of the Holy Spirit. The School of the Holy Spirit. And it's a whole week. The daily rate is $20 per day. You can register online, daysofglory.org/School of the Holy Spirit/. You can register online, daysofglory.org/School of the Holy Spirit/. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. God does great things during those days. And I want to invite you to Holy Rosary. Just look on your calendar. Block out 20 to 26th of July. You're invited. You say, no one ever invites me for anything. Well, I'm inviting you. Come. If you can't come for the whole thing, come for a day or two. May the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who was buried and raised from the dead, may he bless you, the one who ascended into heaven. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.